Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and this is Dr. John Stamey. We've got another special interview with Diane Cottle-Pope of the TAMS from Atlanta, Georgia. First of all, I want to introduce my co-host, the one and only Papa Stroh, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing, Papa Stroh? How's everything in North Carolina for you?
Crazy weather, you know. One day it's sunny, one day it's rainy, but it's all good. It's blessed to be here with you guys.
I know. I am so glad you're here. I don't know, the internet and the internet phone service has been a little bit crazy today, but I'm glad we got a hold of everybody. I think Diane may be having some storms coming up, so but she'll be with us here in just a second. So anyway, so you've done a lot of wrestling in Atlanta, have you not?
Yeah, heck, I used to live in Atlanta. So yeah. Atlanta holds dear to my heart.
it's a nice town, and they got good food, and I'm sure you went to Abdullah the Butcher's barbecue when you were there.
Oh,
and it was
going on. What a great place that was, and also a place that Paul Orndorff put me onto. It was called the Varsity. Had some like the best hot dogs you could ever have.
And the best onion rings in the world. Grease
oh,
is
yeah.
all get about.
Mate.
For God.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I'll tell you what's interesting about the Varsity is it was started by a kid who wanted to be an engineer very badly, and he mm-hmm. couldn't get into Georgia Tech, which was right across the street. That didn't faze him one little bit. And he said he made more money off of a Georgia Tech education of how not to get in school than anybody that ever graduated. And he owns like a whole block and a half. And he was a great guy. I got to meet him. But anyway, we're glad to have you online tonight. And we are glad to have the one and only from Atlanta, Georgia, Diane Pope. How are you doing tonight, Diane?
Fine. How are y'all?
All right.
We are good, and it's great having you on here. We got to reminisce a lot about the TAMS last week, and it was a lot of fun. And I was wondering, I'd kind of like to pick up where we left off. You got any more good stories?
I hope I don't get cut off because we got a storm going on. And last time it took my lights out, but I hope it don't this time.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you. We've all been having internet problems today. So anyway, on the road with the TAMS. How
on the road
was
again.
Uh huh.
Huh? You know, John, I got a suggestion for y'all. Why don't y'all do a podcast where you see the people? You know, like my son-in-law Tip does. He has a podcast, and he talks to Maybe it's, I don't know whether it's Skype or there's a couple different ones.
We
FaceTime.
Can do it just like, yeah, I've about got that figured out. So we'll probably be moving to that here within about a week or two.
With all your techniques, you ought to have it figured out, John.
Well, I just hadn't had a chance, but I can tell you we're about there, and it's a pretty neat thing. So I just want to test it out one more time to make sure I can get it done and get it done right. So that's a good idea.
I think it'd be a great idea.
Well, it would be, and who knows, maybe next time we'll.
I hope
we'll be
I don't break any mirrors when it happens.
No, you'll be fine. Just make sure I do my hair.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
I'll let you know. Make sure Diane does her hair and Stroh. Well,
yeah, but I
got to
look good, especially if I'm on there. If you're seeing me, I got to look least presentable.
Oh, you are always presentable as long as I've known you. But anyway, so tell
I
us
have been
about
in a house coat for so long it don't even
really
matter.
Right.
Well, you got a beautiful place down there. I certainly know that. So we're just glad we got you on here. So how was it being on the road with those great guys? Because they sure were pretty fine people, weren't they?
They were. They were great people. They were. I just talked to my friend from the Temptations the other day. He's like the road manager for Dennis Edwards' Temptations. His name
nice.
Is Donnie Finley. And you need to interview him sometime. And Donnie, he lives in Birmingham. You know Donnie, right? I think you interviewed him before.
Well, we met, and I got to talk with him one time. He came to one of your shows, and I happened to be there. And yeah, like,
right.
I met him.
Well,
he's a nice guy.
He's been coming to the TAM shows ever since he was a little boy. He's a twin, him and his brother, and the TAMs. Joe Pope used to get them in the club, in the back, so because kids couldn't go to the clubs. And they've known the clubs for they've known the TAMs forever. They used to be in Birmingham. They used to have TAMs Tuesday, and they played there every Tuesday. Yeah, it's kind of like I think the guy's name is Mike from the Surf Radio. He has TAMs Tuesday and plays TAM songs all day.
Nice.
Absolutely. That
somebody loves
wonderful.
Us.
Absolutely. Now I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
And you can clarify the name. We have not talked about this friend of yours in a long time. That was a boy named Pink Booty. Why don't you tell his story and tell who he is? That's a heck of a name, isn't it?
Yeah. Pink Booty is Archie Jordan, who wrote Ain't Nothing Like Shaggin', and he wrote Showtime. He wrote a whole album on the TAMs. It was called Beach Music from the TAMs. And his name is Archie Jordan, and he's also known for he was a TAMS guitar player when he's from Aiken, South Carolina, and when he was in right before he was going to college, I think he was maybe like 18 years old, and he auditioned to play with the TAMS for the summer, and he got the job because my husband Charles loved him, and he's very talented. I mean, he probably plays guitar, bass, and I think he plays keyboard and everything. And he went on the road with the TAMs, and when they had a bus then, they'd had several buses during their time, and when he got on the bus, Al said, "Hey, Pink Booty, come on to the back of the bus. This is a black man's bus." And it stuck. And he's a big producer now. I mean, he had almost like a song. He wrote for Ronnie Millsap. He wrote for B.J. Thomas. He wrote for Janie Fricky. He had lots of hits with other artists.
Diane, I think he had 5 number ones with Ronnie Millsap.
Probably
he did. It was gigantic what Archie Jordan did. And, he was something else. And now there's a funny story about him getting on. I don't know if this is before or after that comment, but Archie's mom looked at Charles and gave him some instructions about her son, right?
Yes, she did. She out of all the TAMs and the band and everything, she kind of picked Charles because Charles was he was a little different from the rest of them. He was very quiet. He was very quiet, laid back, dressed like $1 million, always in a suit and tie. And she just felt comfortable with him. He's very soft-spoken, and she just gave him some instructions to take care of Archie and that she was going to put him in his hands. And that's how their friendship became, friends. And Charles helped him get to Nashville, where that's where he, I think he first met, I can't even think of her name, Bang Records, out of Bang Records. I'm sure Charles told you when you did an interview with him before about Bang Records. I can't even think of the lady's name. And then she got him to Nashville, and that's kind of the history of him becoming a big songwriter.
Absolutely. He was something else. And one other thing, I do want to... Pop Stroh and I have a wonderful friend. She's a country singer. She's won a vocalist of the year at Carolina Country Music Awards, and I want to get you a copy of her CD. Her
name
is Cassie Sage. Pop Stroh, do you think Diane would like Cassie's album?
Oh, absolutely. She's a wonderful singer. She's amazing. Multi-talented, too.
Okay.
She can do a lot.
She's a great gal. And by the way, Pop Stroh, when is the next Carolina Country Music Awards?
Well, depending on where the world is now, probably later on in the summer, late summer, I think.
You're right. Okay, well, make sure to let me know.
The interesting thing about Cassie, I forgot to mention, she's also a co-star of mine in the series we're in called Dust Series. It's on the Veil TV now.
That's absolutely.
Is that a reality TV show?
It's not a reality show. Papa Stroh, tell her what it is.
It's more of a supernatural fictitious story, you know, kind of like Supernatural. It's got like vampires, werewolves, and all that good stuff.
Oh, I would love to be on there.
That's my kind of reality.
I love scary movies and things like that.
That's great, man. I portrayed a chief who's like the Grim Reaper of the series.
Uh-huh.
And Cassie, she portrays Celeste. She's one of the female werewolves.
Oh, okay.
In the series. Yeah, so yes, it's really cool.
So what does it come on? It comes on what channel?
It's on the Veil TV, if you can get a Veil TV. And they're syndicated through, like, if you got Roku or Apple TV or Amazon. Cool.
Gotcha.
You can find us there, yeah.
Oh, I got
yeah, we're on there.
I got to find
Diane,
that.
In about 2 weeks when I get down there and all this, hopefully the curve keeps flattening on coronavirus, I'll make sure that we got it together and we'll give Papa Stroh a call when we're watching it. We might even give Ronald Rossman, the producer and creator of it. That would be just great. So it's a lot of fun. And by the way, Papa Stroh was being a little too modest. He's not just he's the star of the show. So Papa Stroh,
right.
I'm gonna get you for that when you're being too modest. Now you're the star of the show. You're the star for sure. But
you
anyway,
know they're
yeah,
supposed
was,
to open up the beaches this week.
Oh,
down
yeah,
there where you are, John.
Yeah,
you
but
that?
You see, we don't have a spot until Memorial Day, because the way things are working out, we'll be there Memorial Day. I can guarantee you that. But I'm looking forward to it, and who knows? I've been trying to see if there was something we could sneak in, because our contract didn't begin until Memorial Day. But anyway, I'm just so glad we'll have people down here, and the folks in this town will have some work in Myrtle Beach. So
I think the Tams don't come down to August the 21st.
Oh,
wow. Okay. Well, we'll mark that down. And Papa Stroh, if you do not have a gig on August the 21st, I know where I would like for you to be.
Yes, it's at the Amphitheater in North Myrtle Beach.
Nice.
Okay. Oh, okay. Now that'll be good. There'll still be a ton of people here. So yeah, Diane, we'll talk about that. And Papa Stroh, I'll
because I'm coming down.
That means lunch is what that means, Diane.
Yes.
Absolutely. That'll be great. So anyway, and I was going to tell you something funny about Charles always dressing like $1 million. I got to tell you a quick funny story, and Diane, I don't think that you know this, but I came down to your house one time. I had a scheduled visit, and as I knocked on the door, and here came Charles, and he had a handkerchief, and he was blowing his nose. I said, Charles, how are you? He said, well, I got a cold. I said, well, you need to go lay down and go to bed. He said, well, I will, but you were coming, and I had to come answer the door. So Charles had to have on a suit and a tie to come answer the door to tell me he was not feeling good. And I said, get in your bedroom and go to sleep. He said, all right, I promise. Diane, that's how particular.
Yeah, he hardly ever caught a cold or anything. When he caught one, it was usually when they were out too long. Maybe they played outside and the wind, maybe, you know, how the wind blows if you play off the water. Every once in a while, he might would catch a cold then, but usually he was never sick.
That was how dedicated that he was to his professionalism and his image. I mean, he was at that point. Joe had passed away, and he was the star of the Tams. And I told somebody one time, if there was any way to chop him up into a million pieces, I could make $2 million. I mean, just everybody loved Charles. They just loved that guy. And he sure could. I mean, he could sing like nobody's business. And I know that he and Joe had great relationship. They were brothers, and they really kept the Tams on track. Now, do you remember when we videotaped the DVD Beach Club?
Yes, in Myrtle Beach.
North
yes,
Myrtle Beach.
We played for a water dog.
I swear, I believe Papa Stroh. You remember talking about how people in Hazard, Kentucky, could could live in tree houses. I think people lived on rooftops. They just came pouring in to see the tents. And Diane,
it was packed. I was there.
That thing's still selling today, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's great.
Sure
great,
is.
Great
I have them made ever so often.
All righty. I need to get a few. To
I mean,
to
our salesperson is Ricky, and he's not too darn good. In fact, he's sorry as hell. He'd rather get him a drink. He'd rather get him a drink than sell.
All right.
We love him. Thank God he don't sing.
Right. He's great. So anyway, we had a good time up there. And how's Coach doing now? If something's happened to him since I last talked to you, I don't know. Coach was a high school. What was he? Football coach.
Football coach. Yeah, at Clemson. It's Clemson High School. He was at the high school.
Yeah.
And he taught also driver's ed, I think it was. And then he helped manage the TAMs for a long time, even before. When I worked for IBM, he was the last manager of the TAMs before I took over booking. But he's still around. He lives in Myrtle Beach now. Coach, John, he said he was going to call you.
Well, I tell you what, after the show's over, I'll call you back and get his phone number. Better time than tonight.
He needs some friends down there.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And I tell you what we'll do when we do our next little fireside chat here on the internet, we'll get Coach on. I'll go over to his
house. Oh, he'd love
that.
He would love that.
Well, he's got some stories now about the TAMs. I know he does. And he's just
he does.
He's just a great guy. So it's good to know that he's in Myrtle Beach. And I like that. So anyway, now I'm going to pressure you one more time. Give me one more really great story about being on the road with the TAMs, and then I'm going to remind you of the most amazing story about Charles Pope, the most amazing story in Papa Stroh. You don't know this, but I want everybody's going to know this by Christmas time, I can tell you that. So what was one of the really fun things, Diane, that you did and got into and got involved with when you were on the was your mom ever worried about you being out on the road with these guys?
You know, my parents disowned me for 13 years. When I left town with the TAMs, that's the talk of the town. The mayor of Concord, and he's a good friend of ours, and he told me that, he said, when you left town with the TAMs, he said, you were the talk of, it's a place called the Stag and Doe, in China Grove, North Carolina, where I'm from. And he said, you were the talk of the town. And I'm sure I was, because back then Ku Klux Klan was pretty big. And they burned a cross in my parents' yard. And so I kind of believe that probably scared my parents, because I was never brought up to be prejudiced, never. And then after that, they disowned me. They just didn't want anything to do with me. So it was kind of like 13 years they disowned me. And they finally came around I had a sister who was in college, and I had another brother that always welcomed us, and they always came to see the TAMs. And, you know, I had one brother who was probably a redneck, I'm sorry to say, but he's changed.
Okay, good.
He was a redneck, but he's really kind of changed. Before my mom passed away, I was going home for about 2 years, maybe, and taking my grandbaby, who was Zanique, and he loved her. He loved her, and she's black, so he loved her.
Hold on now. You better tell everybody who Zanique is. She is somebody that a lot of people know, don't you think?
Yes. Zanique is my daughter, Tiny, who is Tamika Harris, married to T.I., and they have a reality show called T.I. and Tiny Family Hustle, and now it's called Family Hustle and Friends, and it's on VH1, and it's been running for like maybe eight years, I think. It's kind of like the old Cosby Show a little bit, with them and their kids, and I'm on there some. What'd you say?
I said, but it's reality. It's true reality.
Oh, it's true. It's true. It's true.
Yep.
And it just came on this Monday night at 9 o'clock on VH1. It just started back, and it had the biggest rating it's had it since 2018. I heard. So
wow.
They said I saw a thing on one of the blogs saying VH1 said it had the biggest ratings ever, and it's one of their top shows on VH1.
Absolutely.
I'm on there every once in a while, but not as much this year because they didn't want to pay me, and I said I'm not being on there.
Yeah.
I'm too old not to get paid.
Amen to that.
Hey, now, Papa Stro, that's a phrase I've never heard. I love it. I'm too old not to get paid.
Right. I mean, I have to take time to get dressed, have makeup done, all that kind of stuff to film. And no, I said I ain't been on there.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Well, that's true. Now I've got a story. I'm going to start out telling, because Papa Stro needs to know this, and then Diane, you can just chime in, because I think this is a real testament to the greatness of that R&B group from Atlanta, Georgia, the Pams, because they were out traveling, and then there was this kind of poor boy. He didn't have any money, apparently, Charles said, and so they took him on to play bass. And you can stop me as soon as you know who this is. So it came nighttime, and nobody wanted him to come room with him. Charles said, why don't you come on? I got an extra bed. Come on and room with me. Because he was playing with the Tams. And Charles said that he used to get out his guitar. And he bought these distortion pedals. He would even buy them and not eat.
Jimi Hendrix.
The great Jimi Hendrix.
Of course,
Charles' roommate on the road, and he played with him. And here's the statement that Charles made to me, and this is an original statement that I've never heard anywhere else. He said, you know, John, I could see him with those little headphones in his ear playing and learning how to run those distortion boxes. That's what Charles called
them. Right.
And he said, you know, it was like he was making a new kind of music. Now, I didn't particularly care for it.
He didn't like it. Charles didn't like it. Charles didn't like it at all.
We were trying to be nice here. But he said,
I'm just telling you, he didn't like it. But he loved Jimi Hendrix now. Because Jimi was, he said, so down to earth.
And he said that it was like Jimi was listening to a new form of music that no one else had been able to make until he did.
Right.
And you know, Dan, that is a genius statement about a man that changed the world.
He did.
Jimi Hendrix did. And his roommate on the road, Charles Pope,
right,
made that statement.
That's the truth. That's the truth. And Charles told me this. I never met Jimmy because that's before I came to Atlanta. But he told me he was the nicest guy you would ever meet. So humble. He said that he was just one of the nicest people you'd ever meet. He said, but I really didn't like his playing because I like rhythm. That's the reason.
Yeah, but you know what? That's okay. That's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But, I mean, it's just a testament to the drawing power of the Tams that they could have Jimi Hendrix in their band.
Mm-hmm.
And Charles got to hear him. He may not have liked it, but he got to hear, and I think Charles indicated he knew something great was going to happen to Jimmy, but yeah, he kind of didn't like it. I was just trying to be a little nice. Is that okay? You know.
Yeah. He loved him. Don't get him wrong, but he just wasn't his type of music.
Yeah, I want to make sure that I've got this story right because this is the one story that I do not have. He said that Jimmy was with them for about 5 months on the
right.
Road.
That's all.
Right. But, I mean, I just wanted to make sure I got the timing right on that. And on Wikipedia and things like that, they don't even mention the Tams. But the Tams was Jimmy's first professional gig. Am I correct?
Correct. Far, far as I know, he was. It was. That was a little bit before my time. That was like in 62 area, 63, something like that.
Right. But Charles told me this.
Never lies. That's one thing about Charles. He'll never tell you a lie.
And the thing is, whenever I looked up Jimi Hendrix, they never mentioned this, so we'll make sure that everybody knows about
James. They probably don't know.
They don't. And just, you know, that just makes the legacy of the Tams, as gigantic as it is, it's even bigger.
The Tams, and John, and I know you know this, the Tams really never got their just dues. They never got their, as big as they were and as many hit records, if you look at it, they've never been treated right to me. Now, don't get me wrong, the white people love them.
Mm.
Like my husband was whiter than I am. That's what he used to say.
Okay, Diane, may I quote your husband? He made a statement to me, which I thought was one of the most profound statements I'd ever heard. And he said, you know, John, ever since I was 18, 19 years old, I've grown up as a white man.
He's whiter than I am, is what I said.
He said, I have dated white girls. I have met governors. I have met mayors. And I have been treated so well, and I'm just so fortunate. And, you know, I gave him a hug when he told me that. I thought, you know, Papa Stro, that's the kind of wisdom that a great musician can tell you. This was about a year before he passed away. Diane, did Charles pass away?
2013.
It's 2013.
July 2013.
He told me this in 2012, but you know, the Tams were completely legendary. Now, do the Tams have a new album? How long has it been since they put out a new album?
A couple years now. Red is fixing to go back in the studio. They are. Fred Shaw is cutting a new CD on them.
I was going to ask, is Fred still around?
Yes, he is. In fact, he's already cut some of the tracks, but then all of a sudden we got shut down, so... Red has some of the songs that he wanted him to cut for him, and I think all he's got to do now is put the vocals on there and the horn parts.
Yeah, that's great. You know what, Diane? I know that this is a long time ago, but me and Harry Turner co-produced.
My friend Harry.
I know. We loved Harry. He was interesting. But we co-produced.
Yes, he was.
God Bless America by Bill Pinkney and Charles Pope.
Right. I never got to hear that.
Oh, it's great. I will bring it down and we'll put it on. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
Papa Stro, when you're on here next time, you're going to get to be one of the first people to hear Bill Pinkney of the original Drifters. And this is Bill Pinkney that sang White Christmas on Home Alone.
Yeah, the original. He's the original Drifters.
And Charles Pope.
Nice.
And I swear it was Billy Scott was the third voice.
He was. Billy Scott was on there.
And I liked, you know, I liked Billy.
I liked Billy too.
Yeah, he had two number one songs. He had California back in the early 60s.
Got the Fever.
I Got the Fever. And then he still has the number one beach music song of all time, My Kind of Girl.
You're right.
And oh my God. So he's had four gigantic number one hits, and he passed away. It was the I'm going to tell a story. I don't like to tell a story, but I remember I was down in Charleston hanging out with a couple of my buddies, and I said, you know what, I want you guys to meet Billy Pope. He is one of the finest people I know, and he's a great singer. And I called him up. I said, Billy, when are you going to be in Charleston next time? Because I hadn't talked to him in about 2 years. And I said, when are you going to be in Charleston? I got some friends I want you to meet, and they're going to really like you, and I know you'll like them. And he told me at that time that he had throat cancer. And he said, you're probably lucky to talk to me because I was supposed to have already been dead by now. Oh, my goodness. The next week I called and I got his wife. I'm going to tell you the most frightening single event that can happen to you is when you call a good friend's phone number and their wife answers.
Right.
And you know, Papa Stro, you may have had this happen. When the wife answers, you know it's not good. You know, it just,
yeah,
It cannot be good. No, it cannot be good in a bad way. Same thing happened with Marshall Lytle, the bass player of the original Comet. He was such a good friend of mine. Mm-hmm. And it's just heartbreaking when a wife or significant other answers and you know that the person you're calling can't answer the phone anymore. But anyway.
Didn't he kind of get better? And then he passed away from that, I think.
He got real sick that last month.
Right. He had lost all kinds of weight.
Yep. And what a, mm-hmm. you know.
And then
we did a
special for him, us and a whole bunch of other groups in Charlotte. They did a show for him, try to make money for him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Man, I can't think of nothing. I'm getting old.
I know what you mean. You're not getting old. Diane, stop it. You are getting experienced. Is that correct, Papa Stroh?
Getting old, baby.
She's wonderful. Oh, you're wonderful.
And by the way, Papa Stroh, speaking of experienced, was that Granny Hulkster that put that compilation video of yours on Facebook?
No, that was a fan named James. He put that together for me. Special dedication. He did an amazing job.
I want to send Diane a copy of that, because Diane, I know you haven't met Papa Stroh with Maestro of Wrestling, but the minute you see this, you're going to know exactly who he is. And he's been, you talk about one of the best friends anybody could have ever had in the last 10 years. Gee. I mean, he knows everybody. He's done everything. And now he's a star of a show. Now he's a star of a show. So, I mean, you know.
Since I talked to y'all last time, I've been watching wrestling. And I never watch wrestling. But Ricky, like I said, Joe Pope's son, oh, man, he loves wrestling better than anything.
Awesome.
Well, let me ask you this.
Please give Ricky my best. That's awesome.
Huh? Yeah, does King like wrestling?
Oh, yes. And King used to, his father, he was so into wrestling when he was younger that he bought all these belts, you know, the belts, like he would challenge everybody. He has all these wrestling, and he loved John Cena. Now, that was his guy that he loved. And he has all kinds of wrestling, you know, little wrestling things. I have them. They're still here. And he was, his dad and him surprised him and took him to a wrestling match, and he got to meet a lot of the wrestlers here in Atlanta. He was younger then, maybe 12 years old then. And
He's 15 now. Wow, that's great. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to arrange a day or 2 days that Papa Stroh and I are going to come down to Atlanta and see you. And we're going to have Ricky there, we'll have King there, and his dad, better known as T.I., right?
Right.
And I'll cook up the shindig for when they're all done. How's that?
That'd be great.
That's Papa Stroh.
I don't know if T.I. would be here, honey, because he's gone so much.
Yeah, well, we'll
he
work.
He is gone so much.
But anyway, but if Tamika will be there, look, it doesn't matter. If we're there with your family, that's great. So we'll get that
worked
out.
Some of them will be here. Major's on his way home right now. That's the little one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, he stays here and does school from here, you know, because schools are closed, and he's in a private school.
And I'll bet your grandma makes sure he gets it done, doesn't she?
Well, my neighbor, who has been his tutor since Precious passed away,
mm-hmm.
you know, Precious Tip's sister, she's doing his tutoring ever, you know, she's really good. They didn't pass me by. I've been out of school too long.
No, that's experience. You've gotten smarter, Diane. Come on.
I was trying to help Makai on his stuff. I said, oh, Lord, where did this stuff come from? They teach you stuff you never use in life.
Uh-huh. You don't mm-hmm. want to get me started on that, Diane.
Well, you ought to know. You was the teacher.
I know, and that's why I'm so glad I'm not. But I'll tell you what, if you want to get some learning, you go see the likes of Ole and Gene Anderson and the likes of Nelson Royal and Paul Jones and that bunch that Papa Stroh studied with to become a wrestler. In this video.
What about the Fargo brothers? Is the Fargo brothers?
Yeah.
Aren't they out of Charlotte or somewhere?
They used to be, yeah.
They used to be. That was the old Fargo brothers. There's some new ones now, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember the old ones.
The old ones, yeah.
Yeah, when Ric Flair and all them, because they used to come see the towns all the time.
Yeah, like Ric Flair, a lot of those guys got the strut from the Fargos back in the day.
Yeah, I love that. He's so crazy. Yes, Lord.
Right.
And now they say his daughter is outright. My son told me he watched his daughter the other day, said she did so many flips, he couldn't believe it.
Wow.
You talking about Charlotte?
I don't know what her name is.
She's
Charlotte Flair. Yeah. She's amazing, yeah. She's so acrobatic, man.
Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, that's great. Well, we're going to get everybody together when we come down to Atlanta, as soon as this mess is over, it's going to be a fest, right, Papa Stroh?
Yep.
I'm sure.
So, Papa Stroh, where do you live?
I live in outside of Jacksonville, North Carolina, near Wilmington.
Oh, okay, just above Murray. Yeah. We must have been playing in Wilmington, was it June 17th?
Nice.
I don't know whether it's – or July 17th. I'm not sure, but it could be canceled. Who knows? We're supposed to do an outside festival.
Oh, maybe
it's on a Sunday, but
does.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's – you know, they're canceling so much, so I'm not sure right yet.
Right.
Well, Diane,
yeah.
let me know. And what day was it supposed to be? And I'll make a note so that I can let Papa Stroh know. And if he's available, he can come down and hang out.
17th of, hold on a minute.
Probably August.
Nope, May 17th. So I'm sure that's going to be changed.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
well,
May, everything is canceled. But we got two jobs in May that has not canceled, but I'm sure they will.
Yeah, but we'll
They'll probably reschedule it.
Yep. Well, that will be great. And so, Diane, I know you wanted to cut out here because you got some storms.
Well, I'm
there.
Okay now. I'm okay now. The storm is gone.
Are?
Yeah.
Good, oh, that's good. Great.
Looks
All
like
right,
the storm
so
is over with.
No more stormy weather. Stormy
yes.
weather. Why? Oh, Steve Brookstein. I need to call Steve Brookstein. Maybe Steve would show up over here if y'all want me down here. You know Steve Brookstein?
Did he write Stormy Weather?
No, he was the first winner of Britain's Got Talent, and I miraculously met him, and we're still friends on Facebook, and we still talk. And
what's the girl that recorded that? The pretty one.
Lena Horne? Was that her?
Lena Horne. Yeah, that Fred Sanford loved Lena Horne.
Oh, yeah. Sanford's son. Yeah, I love that. Love that episode.
I love Fred Sanford. That's one of my favorites. You know, my husband watched that 24/7.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love Sanford. That's amazing.
Sanford and Son. I love them.
My grandma was just like Fred. She was like the female version of Fred Sanford.
She was?
Oh, yeah. She loved that show. Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, hysterical.
He died kind of broke, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's so terrible.
Who, Red Fox?
Yeah, Red Fox. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my husband played with Red Fox. Before Red Fox had Sanford and Son, he was like a stand-up comedian, and they said that he was on the show with them, I think in Chicago, at the Regal Theater.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They've been with everybody. That's just why sometimes I feel so I hate that they was not bigger than they should have been. I mean, they were big. They played with everybody. They were with everybody, from the Supremes to Dionne Warwick, to Aretha Franklin.
Oh,
they were with everybody. James Brown, on the show with James Brown all the time.
I did a pay-per-view with James Brown. Matter of fact, one of his shows. Down in San Francisco, the Cow Palace for WCW.
You know, he had James Brown was smart.
Uh-huh. Yes, he was. Yeah, very nice man, too.
Yeah, and he put on all of his own shows. he's the one made all the money.
Right.
I think he learned that.
I'll never forget when he came out the Cow Palace. I mean, the whole roof just came off. It was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and he didn't play about his band. They better play every note correct.
Right, right. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
Yeah. God, he was something else. You know,
yeah,
I think we've all lived through the eras of the greats. And I know I got my James Brown story. I was doing the website for the for South Carolina Concerts. It was a huge deal. And they were going to have James Brown. And I said, I'm going to interview James Brown. And the guy said, sure, good luck. You know, so I went in there, had my press pass on. No, listen, this is great. So I had my press pass on. I had everything. So I'm going in there, and I'm getting toward his trailer. I said, I'm here to interview James Brown from SC Concerts. We're putting this on. And the guy said, you're not going anywhere. Get out of here. James Brown opened the door. I said, Mr. Brown, I need an interview with you, please. He looked at me. He said, come on in here, boy. I can't wait. We talked for 20, 25 minutes. Made the guy so mad. And that's when James Brown became one of my favorite people in the world. He said, I don't know what they're doing. You look like an all right guy. I said, well, thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, it was a magical 20 minutes to get to talk with James Brown.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's history.
Well,
yeah,
it really
doubt.
You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about this the other day. Some of these folks like the Tams and James Brown and Aretha Franklin, I believe they are more famous than some of our past presidents.
Yeah.
I believe
probably Aretha
they are.
Is. My
right.
son-in-law is playing in Aretha Franklin's new movie.
Oh, wow.
You know they're doing a Aretha Franklin movie?
Uh-huh.
No.
And
wow.
He's playing one of her, I don't know whether he's playing her, one of her husbands or her boyfriend. But he's in it, and he's got an afro and everything.
You talking about Little Red?
No, Tip, T.I.
Oh, Tip.
You know,
oh,
he acts. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought
that's
you
so,
said one
that's
of your...
so cool.
Oh, my God.
Huh?
Yeah.
That's so
yeah.
cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Greatest performance in all of movie history is Respect from the Blues Brothers. Oh, my God. That's the greatest performance. With Belushi and Aykroyd staring at her. It's like, oh, my God. What a great performance. So, you know, again, some of our entertainers. You know, Papa Stroh, you sent me that link to a movie earlier today, and I watched it. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
This
what
speaks
movie?
Directly to that movie. What was it, Papa Stroh? I'll let you tell the name of it.
Oh, the Out of Shadows movie? Is that the one?
Out of the Shadows. Yep, and what it does is it talks about how a lot of our entertainers and things have been groomed to be bigger than politicians and things. That's one of the messages in the films, I believe they have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And some other darker things. But, you know, Diane, I'll shoot you that link from Papa Stroh on Facebook. You'll find it highly interesting. I think I had Papa Stroh, I hadn't called you back to comment. I had to think about it. Interesting. Anyway, but look folks, it's been just wonderful. Diane, okay, first of all, I'm going to ask Diane, what else does she have to share with us tonight? Then Papa Stroh, then I'll wrap it up until next time, and where we'll probably, and Papa Stroh, if you'll be with us, I'll probably be broadcasting from Coach's house here in Myrtle Beach. I'd love to do that.
Oh, that would be neat. I think that would be neat. And he really has a lot of stories, especially
sure.
when he was younger. When he was younger when he was managing the Tams, and we got him on. We got a thing where they played at the. I forgot where they were playing first at the the Cabana Terrace. They called it CT's, and we did a live at CT's. That's our only live CD that the Tams ever did. And it's a great CD. And Coach was always getting drunk. He'll probably tell you about that. They got him up there dancing. Oh, and he's so funny. He is so funny. He don't never want anybody to see that, but he was so funny.
Those were the days.
One time, Joe Pope, the last story I can tell you is one time at Myrtle Beach, they were playing at CT's, and Joe was pretty well lit. And he doesn't dance. Joe Pope don't dance. If he does dance, he's not too good. And Red, of course, is a great dancer. Red is a performer, kind of like a James Brown, Michael Jackson, all in one. So he told Red that he could beat him in dancing. And if that, and we got it on tape, and that is the funniest thing you would ever see.
Well, okay. You know what? Next time, within the next 2 weeks, Diane, we're going to talk about this. You got
okay.
it?
Okay.
With Coach. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Yep.
And so anyway, just glad to have you on here. As we really
glad to be
these,
on here.
And I'm going to just go ahead and spit
the pleasure.
It's a pleasure. Papa, how do you pronounce your last name?
Stroke.
Oh, okay. Okay, I got it.
It goes. It comes from Maestro.
Maestro.
I try to keep it simple.
Do you dance or do you play music when you come out? Do you wrestle?
I do all the above.
All the above. Okay, great. I'd love to see that.
Yeah,
well, Diane,
good time.
Let me go ahead and I got to spill the beans. First of all, does he play the piano? When he made his international debut live on WCW, they lowered him down playing a baby grand piano.
What?
Okay?
Yeah,
He was the guy. And is he a wrestler? After having been a wrestling fan my entire life, I think he is one of the most accomplished and terrifying wrestlers in the ring. He is probably. You know,
doing it or are you not?
I still am, but along with the acting and all the other stuff that I do now. So it's kind of,
You kind of branched off kind of like John Cena did, the acting
pretty much,
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Because
he's acting some too, ain't he?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And who was the other one? What's his name with the blonde hair used to do that? He started acting.
What's his name? I know if it's Ric Flair, I think.
I know Rick. What was the other one? He was kind of famous.
Hulk Hogan. Yeah, and of course The Rock.
Rock. Yeah. I saw The Rock break an egg with his muscles the other day. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the egg flew up in his, kind of almost to his face.
Yeah, right.
So are you big like The Rock, or no?
Well, he's a little taller than I am.
A little taller than you are?
But, yeah.
But you still got muscles like him.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't wait to meet you.
Me too. Awesome.
My other daughter was just talking about Tony Atlas when he bought them two pair of black shoes.
Yeah.
She remembers everything.
Oh, he's still big as a house. Oh, man.
I hated to see him in a suit.
Yo,
he looked better naked.
Head.
I don't mean naked like that. I mean in the little shorts and things that he wrestled in.
Right.
Because he has some huge muscles.
Yeah, he does.
Does he still wrestle or no?
Because
he should be old.
Yeah. He's got a gym up north that he attends to, but he does appearances at conventions and stuff, but he don't wrestle as much as he used to.
Right. Because how old do you think he is?
Oh, gosh.
He's got to be in his 70s.
Yeah, at least.
Yeah. Because he used to pick my son up, Red, and take him to the gym where they were all, because my son used to say, Mama, they're friends. Because he thought they hated each other when they wrestled. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He said, no, they're friends. I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. But I saw him at a convention a few months ago, and before all this stuff started in the world, and he still looks good.
Yeah. He was a nice-looking guy.
Yeah.
All the girls in the neighborhood loved him.
Oh, I bet. Oh,
yeah, they
man.
Did. Especially my best friend, Charlene. She loved him.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Yeah, he loves, like, Southern food, too.
I bet.
Somebody brought him some, like,
if you ever see him, ask him, did he ever live in an apartment called Spanish Traces in Atlanta?
Spanish Traces, okay.
Spanish Traces
okay.
is where he lived, and that's where we lived. In Decatur,
okay.
Georgia. It was Decatur, really, but it was Atlanta.
Oh, okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I will, yeah. Oh, yeah, you get a kick out of that, I bet.
How you know that?
But, yeah, he still looks good, man. He's still got those big arms and everything.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see him. He was nice.
Yeah. I knew Dwayne through his daddy, Rocky Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rocky introduced me to his boy like a long time ago, Dwayne there, and I kind of helped out Dwayne when we were in Memphis, wrestling Memphis together, Jerry Lawler, back in the day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And
so you married
yeah,
and got kids?
Not yet.
Not yet?
Not yet. I came close at one time, but she passed away, unfortunately, a long time ago.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
So, yeah, it was a brain aneurysm she had. Yeah. And so, but not yet, but, you know, I'm not ruling out someday, you know.
I'm sure it'll happen.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, John?
Hey, John.
We didn't cut him off?
I don't know. What happened?
No, oh, no, I'm back. No, I'm back. Can you hear me?
Oh, what'd you do? Have us muted?
No, there's a little button. Sometimes it'll get pushed, and it mutes me, but I can still hear you. And I was going to bed.
We carried on the whole conversation while you were
right.
No, I'm sorry. I'm actually having such a good time listening. I mean, this is priceless entertainment. So, speaking of priceless, Diane, I got one more question. One more old friend. Do you ever run into the Queen of Beach Music, Janet Barnett?
Janet Barnett.
Where? Do I
do
know
you
her?
Remember? Yes, you do. She and I used to hang out for about 2 years, and we were doing all these projects. And then she and the Lord apparently got mad at me. And Maurice and Bill, is Maurice still alive, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
I need to get his phone number from you because
his phone number is the same phone number he always had. John, why
know,
do you lose phone numbers?
Because you've got them.
No, you're right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, same phone number.
I love it. Yeah, because you have all the numbers. Well, anyway, I need to call Maurice because he's just off. Is Miss Emily still around, his wife?
Yes.
I loved her. Yes, she was so nice. But anyway, listen, it's been great talking to you, Diane. We've gotten more marvelous.
That is awesome. Thank you.
So here's what I'm going
to
do.
Can't wait to meet
Diane.
Everybody.
Yep. Me neither. Oh. That's a pleasure.
So here's the plan, folks. All right, Diane, tomorrow I will call you and get Coach's number.
Coach's number. Okay.
And I will get Maurice's number.
Okay.
Maurice has a few Tam stories.
Yeah.
He loves
yeah.
you guys. He really does. And then we'll talk. And we're going to assume, Pop Stro, we're going to assume that July 1st all this mess is over. And I'm going to see when you and I can go to there. And we can have just a blast with the Tams, with the Diane, with
everybody.
Tamika's daughter, who's so sweet, with Little Red, her son, and meet the grandkids.
This
is going to be so much fun. That's exactly right. And boy, if they ever want to meet a wrestler, this is the toughest wrestler that I know. And I don't say
great.
That a lot. I would say that he.
Oh, Ricky's gonna love it.
I would say that Papa Stro, Vader, and Stan Hansen were the three toughest men that ever lived. Papa Stro,
I'm honored
you, Papa Stro,
in that class.
You, no, I was just watching you last night on that video. I need to post that. I was watching you. You were tough. Jesus.
Send it to me so I can show it to Ricky when you get a chance.
Well, I will. I tell you what, Diane, I don't know if we're friends on Facebook, but I'll add you tonight. I'll find mm-hmm. you, and then I'll send it to you, and then I'll see you. You'll see Papa Stro back in the day, and he's just
okay.
so cool now. He just gets cooler all the time. I'm just trying to make everything work out, so it's all good. But, Diane, thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
I'll
talk to you soon.
Papa Stro.
Bye-bye.
It's great to talk to you. Goodbye, Diane. And Papa Stro, we'll talk to you. Oh, my goodness. Talk to you tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Part,
Murder 1-2-3.
Part two of Charles Manson. Oh, my goodness. I got to call Devin and see who if he got that fella for us to interview. And you know what? Somebody said, John, when y'all are on there, it just sounds like phone conversation. As well, it is. I mean, you know, what more can we say? So again, Papa Stro, the best partner in crime I've ever had. Thank you so much, and I will
talk to you
soon. I'll probably give you the quick shout out right after this, and then I got to get going. I got to try to work on some things. My Alabama people. Especially Kevin Holland, who Walking Dead, he finally got. They had not only the coronavirus but the hurricane. It almost destroyed their house. And he said he's been sending pictures, but he can't talk to me because he said I'm so busy and my wife has got to have this house fixed up. And I said I understand. That's great. So anyway, thank you very much. Again, it's always a pleasure. We will see you tomorrow night, Monday night, which will be. April the 20th for Murder 1-2-3 Part 2 of Charles Manson, the real Helter mm-hmm. Skelter. So look, thanks a lot, buddy. Thank you. We're so glad Diane was here. We kept her on for an hour. That's okay. She loved it. She's such a good girl. So anyway, thanks a lot, Papa Stro, and be good. And everybody, thank you so much. We will see you again sooner than later. Cheers. Bye.
Cheers.